Track A, Modern Netware Hacking.
That you don't hear a lot about, and a little bit about myself. There's my email address. This is in the handouts if you have any questions about what the Nomad Mobile Research Center is. Go ahead and let me know. Before we get started, I had a couple of quick announcements that I wanted to make. Yesterday morning at the keynote presentation, we had Jeffrey Hunker was talking about protecting cyberspace version 1.0. It's my understanding already a vulnerability has been found. You're encouraged to upgrade to 1.0a immediately. If you don't, you could possibly introduce problems into your infrastructure and your entire country be taken over. So if anyone has done that, go ahead and upgrade immediately. Sorry, 1.0, that just killed me. That was really funny. Anyway, also, this t-shirt I'm wearing, because I've gotten a lot of comments about the t-shirt. I don't see Space Shog's blue hair in here right now, but anyway, Hacker News Network, I occasionally write stuff for them. Everyone keeps coming up and asking me if these t-shirts are for sale. I think they're possibly going to be for sale at DEF CON. But anyway, I promised I would go ahead and model these exciting t-shirts for Space Rogue with the handy HNN satellite on there. Anyway, I've been doing this kind of stuff for a number of years. Originally, it started out just being me. The Nomad Mobile Research Center was kind of a joke. I had to put something in tin in there for the, I wanted to put something in there for the organization. And kind of wherever I was where I was doing research and studying and everything. There's a few people that have come on in the past 2 or 3 years. Most of these people are people that kind of work kind of behind the scenes, and I usually end up being kind of the front guy for what they're doing, in particularly some of the stuff we're going to be talking about dealing with Jitsu Disk, who helped code up the Pandora, which we'll be talking about. Well, here's our agenda here. We're going to talk about why even hack NetWare. A lot of people are wondering why you would even want to go ahead and bother and do that. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about data gathering techniques that you can do in the Novell environment. There's some really handy things you can do. Some different intrusion techniques, and then we'll attempt to do an overview of Pandora, at least do it here verbally right before I started the presentation. A drink got knocked over into my keyboard and the mouse isn't working, so that's going to kind of inhibit the Pandora demo. I'm going to have to reboot. It's going to take forever for that to happen with this goofy box, but we'll try and get to that later. Okay, why hack NetWare? Well, there's some pretty good reasons to do so. A lot of people don't realize this. Everyone keeps saying, well, I don't even hear anything about Novell anymore. They must not be a very vital thing. They used to have a pretty good market share. They had about 70-75% of the corporate America had Novell deployed. That's dropped now to about 55%. Most of it's gone over to NT, and a lot of places that still do have NetWare deployed are in the process of kind of getting rid of it and converting over to NT and stuff. So it's still out there. There's still a lot of market share on it. Historically, the security is often overlooked. A lot of things are just taken for granted. I don't know how many times I've heard, well, NetWare isn't hackable. You know, you can't get into this stuff. It's a standalone server. There's no client. You can't log into the server at the console itself. You put it in a locked room. You're fairly okay. And a lot of times, what happens is the administrators for NetWare, and I've run into a whole lot over the course of using NetWare and doing this kind of stuff. They don't tend to have a lot of focus on real security issues. Their security is I put a password on the accounts, and you know, and that's pretty much about it. So that makes it a kind of a prime target for that reason. Another one is there's always been a real strong file and print thing behind Novell. That's really been their strength with NetWare, has been the whole file and print. Their file services are incredibly fast. I think they're still faster than NT. And because of that, the way they've been deployed, you don't find a lot of R&D source code and stuff usually sitting on a network server, but you do find tons and tons of productivity office productivity products, their documents stored on network servers. So spreadsheets, Word documents and other things. Oh, good, my mouse is working now. That's great. Okay. We'll go ahead and they'll go ahead and store that stuff out there, so you get a lot of good stuff. A lot of people that are into corporate espionage and everything, they go after that kind of stuff. For this presentation, for talking about data gathering, I'm talking about offline and online techniques. The offline techniques, I mean off of the network server itself. Online, I'm talking about directly querying a network server. So even though I say offline, I mention the internet, that doesn't mean what you think it means there. Some of the offline techniques, there are plenty of public sources, and this is going to apply not just to NetWare, but this is going to apply to pretty much anything, you know, looking at SEC filings, annual reports, anything that you can find out there on the internet as well. Usually that returns lots of good information. You start getting telephone numbers and stuff like that. And you need that kind of stuff if you're trying to get into a Novell network, particularly from the outside, because a lot of times the only way to get in is to go through some type of dial-up type mechanism. That's how you have to do it. Looking over their company website is another good one if they're out there on the internet. My favorite one is internet postings. And I don't know why this happens, but you'll see a lot of times there'll be people that are specifically talking, they're posting from their domain saying, I'm having a problem with blah, blah, blah. I can't get the security to work right on blah, blah, blah. They're giving out tons of technical information. A lot of times they're giving out version numbers and all kinds of things. I'm loading up these products here, I'm using this kind of environment, and they give half of their environment structure out there. And I've done a lot of some of the penetration type testing I've done where involving NetWare, go out and look at these postings, you get an idea of what's inside there. And even if you can't find that, if you can figure out that some guy's posting from a home account and asking questions in these forums, then you can go ahead and start correlating and tying these things back together. Of course, the old traditional social engineering, contacting the employees directly, and you know, I think we all pretty much know what we're talking about with that. Online types of techniques, check null. This was something written by a hacker from the Netherlands, goes by the name of Itzmi, and he's come up with a lot of different tools. This one in particular, and I've got the I didn't put this in here. The source that CheckNull is based off of, I've got out there on the NMRC website in one of the files sections under NetWare. It's called, I think it's NWPD or something like that, .zip or something. But anyway, it's out there and specifically has example source code on how to do some of the login stuff. And some of that worked its way into Pandora. What CheckNull does is it'll go through there and it'll look and see it'll check for accounts, it'll return account names and tell you if they have a password or not, if there's no password. You can specify on a command line and say, give me all the accounts that have no password and where the account name is the password. So you can do some kind of nice nifty things for it, and very quickly running this utility, get a lot of information directly out of a network server. You don't have to be logged in for this. This was originally was a Network 3 tool, but it works on Network 4 and Network 5 if the binary context is set. Another real good one, the CX utility. This is one from Novell. If you specifically use these switches, the /T/A/R, it will dump out the entire tree. You don't need to be logged on. If they've used the default writes, which almost everyone does, then you're going to get every single account that's on the box. You're going to get that person's name, and you're going to have the structure, their directory services structure of how those accounts are laid out and grouped together. And that's, for logging into a system, you need two things, the user ID and the password. So this gives you half of the equation right there. Another real good one is NList. This is also from Novell. included on their systems. There's a number of useful switches on this. If you do a endless user slash D, it gives the D is for detail. It gives you a lot of information regarding the accounts in the system. And then also with groups, that gives you the group names, and then the server will give you a list of servers. If you've attached, you don't have to be logged in, but if you're attached to that server, it'll tell you if the account, if accounting is turned on that server or not. That way you know whether possibly that server has some extra type security that you're going to have to worry about if you're going to be trying to attack it. And I don't know if everyone here is familiar with NetWare, but whenever you boot up and you it loads up your drivers, you're immediately attached to the nearest server and you're in a state called not logged in. And that's basically all you need to be able to run run these tools here. Another real fun one, there's a I don't see a lot of people use this, but the OT option. OT equals asterisk slash DYN for dynamic slash D for detail. Gives you all kinds of information on basically every readable object in the tree. Now what's handy about that is if you know of a vulnerability, let's say with ArcServe or Palindrome or some other loaded thing that's on there, this will pick it up. It'll tell you that, okay, there's ArcServe loaded on the server. Now, it, when it comes back, it doesn't list in detail all of the particulars, like this was a Palindrome NLM, this sitting out there, you got Palindrome on the server. You do have to go out to Novell's website and download a copy of all the registered numbers and names of all these things, and it'll give you kind of an idea of what you've got loaded on there, and that comes in real handy. Intrusion techniques, you can just try logging in directly. If you've pulled down a list of account names, in particular, the larger the server, the more likely it is if you try a password of password or test or let me in or something along those lines, you're going to get you're going to get in if you go down through the list. And there's some tools actually out there that that help automate that, and we'll talk about those in just a minute. You can try mapping or attaching to the server. That's a little nicer in some cases, particularly with the attach command. It'll let you know if you've got the user or the password. If you normally, when you log in, it doesn't tell you. You try a login name, it'll just go ahead and even if the login name's wrong, it'll go ahead and continue on with the password. And that's normal type security type stuff you should have. Attach doesn't work that way. You try attach to a server and you use a specific name, it'll bomb out immediately. It'll say, nope, that's not even a valid name on here. So it's a good technique to use to check for that. Usually after you've gone through and done all this stuff where you're doing all your CX and endless and check null and you find an account and get on the box, immediately I always rerun all the CX and endless commands again with the switches because you get a little bit more information that comes out of that. That's because with Novell there's basically four types of levels of access. You've got one that's public, and that's for anybody that just attaches to the server. Some that say if you're logged in. Another one that says if you know you have supervisory type rights, you get do a little bit more. And then there's another one that's specific to the console itself, where you're running as basically as the as Novell's kernel. They're the network central kernel that's run on the server. Other intrusion techniques, there's some bindery-based tools that will work with Network 4 and Network 5. NWP crack, and we'll do a brute force, you can do a dictionary attack or brute force. Knock, which is another it's me thing. He just changed a byte in the attach.exe from Network 3, which had a flaw in it. And it'll sit there and hammer away on the server trying to attach with the username. And after so many times, there's apparently a 1 in 65,000 chance it might attach to the server. This will go ahead and work sometimes if you have the bindery context set on the server. From Pandora, which Jitsu and I developed, we had in Pandora 3, we had a utility called Intruder that would go ahead and do pretty much the same thing. You could give it a dictionary list of usernames to try. You give it a dictionary list of passwords to try. And by playing around with those, you can, you know, like I said, could take a common list of usernames and maybe a short list of maybe three passwords and then go ahead and let the thing run. And that's kind of a fun way to try stuff. Some other tools that are good for grabbing information out of the servers. There's a tool called OnSite, which you can pull down off of Novell's website. That's kind of handy. It gives a lot of detailed information in that. And of course, any type of sniffing always helps. That's always a really good thing, even in a Novell environment, particularly if they're using a remote console, which we'll talk about here.
Are there IPX sniffers around? I wasn't aware of one.
Yeah, there's. Network General will decode IPX. But if you're just pulling off raw packets, then you can pretty much get anything. NDS, which is the central part, that's Novell's that's their directory services. It's on. Network 4 and Network 5, and we'll continue on. I'm sure the first object built when you load up NDS on a network server is a user called Supervisor. This is a kind of a carryover from the Network 3 days. In the Network 3 days, there was this God-type user called Supervisor. Well, he's still there in Network 4 and Network 5. You can do a bindery login into a server and attach with this guy. I found it when I was first taking apart and trying to reverse engineer NDS. I couldn't figure out why this first guy looked so familiar and everything. And turns out when you load on NDS, the initial password that you set for admin when you're loading up NDS, that's what gets assigned to Supervisor. I included some tools in the intruder part of Pandora that specifically go after this particular user object. It's a real handy one. The main reason is because if you get this guy, you've got full access to the server's file system. That means you can get to anything on the box. Okay. Now, a lot of times for people, if they're trying to attack, they want to specifically get, you know, some Word documents, they want to get someone's marketing plans off of a server or whatever. Whatever their motivation is there, if they've got read-write access to the server, that may be all they need. They go in there, they get the documentation they need, and that's it. And I was still surprised to find this in Network 5. I thought they might have at least tried to do something about that, but they certainly didn't. It's still there. So going after supervisors, I said the brute force attacks that knock NWP crack, those will go after the bindery account of supervisor. And like I mentioned, the intruder utility that comes with Pandora, it'll also go ahead and go after that. Now I say stealth methods here. Most of the time on these brute force attacks, if you've got intruder detection turned on an account, after it hits that limit of, you know, three or four tries or whatever you have it set at where it fails, all of a sudden you got the whole server console rolling with all these intruder detection lockout, this guy's sitting at this MAC address, go arrest him, he's a bad guy. All that stuff's rolling by on the console. What happens, though, is every time you do that and the intruder detect is on, it does have a return code that comes back. So we made sure that the Pandora tools at least listen for that return code so they don't sit there and just continue to generate all that stuff. You'll just get one. And I know if there's anyone here that's ever administered NetWare particularly in a large corporate environment, it is not unusual to see on the console one of these intruder detection lockout things pop up there on the console. The bigger the environment you're going to have that, users forget their password, they end up locking themselves out. The interesting thing, though, about that is that in Network 4 and Network 5, it's not automatic. You got to go in and turn it on. It was real easy to do in Network 3. All you got to do is basically make sure that you've got it set. In Network 4 and Network 5, you've got to go to each individual container that contains accounts and then turn it on at each individual container. It's a real pain in the butt, and most people don't have it turned on because most people don't realize that they should be doing that. Other types of attacks, and these, I mean, of course, if you're at the console, there's a number of, there's some security methods that they have put in place specifically to try to protect the console. Most of these can be bypassed fairly easily. If they've locked the monitor, it's fairly easy to jump out into the debugger. Just go out and you can look in RAM The password is sitting out there in RAM. If you just follow the data portions, if you know how to go into the debugger. By the way, I've written a number of facts on hacking, and including NetWare. I've got all that detailed, exactly what steps to go through out there on the website. We won't go through every single step you have to do there. And there's some other debugger attacks when you go into that debugger where you just basically, you know, shift alt escape and boom, you're in the debugger. You can go in and do things like turn off the verify password portion of what the server's doing. That way you can log in and it won't even check for a password. And that's a really handy way to get into the system. There are some other types of NLMs that you can go out there and get. The SetPWD is probably my favorite. If you've locked yourself out of the server because you forgot the password, as long as you set the bindery context at the server, you load this thing up and then reset the password. So it's real handy, real clean. It works. It was intended originally for NetWare 3, but because of backward compatibility, all those calls still work in NetWare 4 and NetWare 5.
Doesn't setpass require some kind of a code?
Setpass requires, I think it's the serial number of your, and checks the serial number of your server. But setPWD does not. It just goes ahead and does what it's told, which is nice. Remote console. There's this thing that administrators don't like to do, and that's like walk across the building over to the server room. They like to go ahead and administer stuff right from their desk, and they beg for it, and Novell said, okay, we'll give you a tool for it. I don't know why this thing is implemented the way it is. It's a very, very poor solution. The remote console stuff in NetWare 3 was flawed. You could pick the stuff off with a sniffer, and there's a program, I got it out on the website, that It's Me wrote, that will simply, you just put in the stuff out of the sniffer trace and it'll tell you what the remote console password is. They got a little bit better with that in NetWare 4, but it's still unbelievably easy to get to this stuff. And I know there's been some people that say, no, because you can do the encryption thing, because when you load up the remote.nlm, which controls the access to the server with the rconsole utility, you can specify an encrypted password. Now this, because normally you have this stuff stored in the NCF file, and it'll basically say, you have it in there when it starts up, it says load remote, and then what the password is for the remote console. Well, you can put in there load remote and put in the dash E option and then put in the encrypted text, okay? If you get a hold of that text, there's two ways to decrypt it that are real, real simple, actually three ways. They're real, real simple to do. The first way is if you've got it, go to one of those network classes where they give you the free CD, or call up 1-800-RED-WORD and order one for like $10, saying you're a developer. They'll give you a CD, you load up NetWare, and then you go ahead and put that load remote and then that encrypted thing in there, load the thing up, go into the debugger, and go right to the spot it's decoded in RAM. Okay? Real easy to get to. That's in the hack fact. It tells you exactly how to go through and do that. And you can do that live on a server. You have to be kind of careful, and I've done this on live production servers before. Whenever you go into the debugger, when you're doing that, all processing stops as far as talking to the rest of the network. So people don't notice that you got to really quickly go in there real quick, do one step, and then jump back out, let it kind of process what is cached up, and continue to do that. And it really doesn't take more than 15 seconds or so to do this if you've practiced it a few times. The other thing that is interesting about this, Jitsu and I were one afternoon on, I don't know if we were doing this in email or if it was on IRC, because Jitsu's actually, he lives in France, and we decided we're going to try and decrypt it, and we got part way, and we really didn't, because we were going to write a utility that would just decrypt it if we got the encrypted hash. And we kind of gave up on it after a while. We basically blew maybe an afternoon or a weekend or something on it. We forwarded all our notes when someone had sent me an email about it. A guy goes by the name of The Ruiner. He went ahead and took the time and effort and went ahead and wrote a utility. And that thing will go ahead and decrypt it. You just hand it to it, put in the characters, and it'll go ahead and decrypt it. So that's kind of nice. The other thing to keep in mind with the R console stuff is that nothing is encrypted once you connect up to that server with R console. So if you're pulling up, if you're the administrator and you're going across the wire and you pull up, you're looking at NCF files, you're editing those things, those will go ahead and go across the wire in plain text. And that's kind of a bad thing. And that's another easy way to go ahead and get that encrypted hash thing. Other types of console attacks. NCF files, these are basically kind of the equivalent of batch files for NetWare. You can type in basically a text file with a .ncf extension, and if you run that from the server console, it'll go ahead and act as if it typed in each one of those commands. And a lot of the startup files in NetWare are NCF files. If you've done that thing where you've got in and attacked the that hidden supervisor guy, you can get to the sys volume in the system directory, which is where all the goodies are kept, and you can actually go in and edit these NCF files and maybe put in some extra stuff that will compromise the security of the box. Basically, if you can get to that sys system, you can usually pretty much guarantee you're going to be able to take over the box. Sometimes you'll find NCF files in different directories. If you go ahead and by the book do what Novell says for you to do with remote console, and go ahead and create the NCF file. This thing is called ldremote.ncf, and its default place is put in the etsy directory on the sys volume. There are some older buggy versions of NetWare's FTP NLM, which if you connect up anonymously and you're doing passive mode, it'll go ahead for some reason and give that directory extra writes, and then you've now got a read write, and you can go in there and change that remote console password. And then a simple denial of service to crash the box and have it reboot, and bingo, you now know the remote console password. The other thing is that once you get to the console, either through some of these techniques we've been kind of talking about, if you can get to the console, then you can get to those NDS files. These are in, on every NetWare volume, there's a hidden directory called underscore NetWare. And Novell has been, every version they try to make that a little bit harder to get into. But that's where all the good stuff is kept. It's the auditing files are kept there, so if you have other volumes, the auditing, and you have auditing turned on that volume, inside that volume in that hidden directory is where those auditing files are kept. In on the sys volume, that's where the NDS files are kept, as well as all the login scripts and everything else. So you can go ahead, if you get to the console, and this is the ultimate goal, go in there and then just simply copy those NDS files over to a directory where you've got read access and then pull them down. And that works very well. Once again, all that information, step by step how to do that, is in the the hack fact, which you can look at, and gives you the details on how to do those copies. Pandora 3, now the exploits I'll be talking about here, these Pandora 3 got released about a year ago. And we gave Novell about, we told them, yeah, 30 days and we're going to release this. We got some really bad stuff here. You need to fix it. It turns out Novell had known about this stuff, according to some Russian hackers that had communicated with us, that they'd known about this stuff for a couple of years. And apparently some of this stuff was fixed and patched about 6 months previous to us doing the announcements about this, but they still, no one knew that. No one that knew that they had actually been patching some of these things. So anyway, what we came up with while, because originally Pandora was password cracking. With those NDS files that you take off, I'd gone in and figured out how all these files interrelated and worked together, and found the one-way hashes that represent the password. There's another real handy thing in there, and that is that they also put in the password length right there next to where the hash is, which makes it a lot easier when you're trying to do some type of brute force. You know exactly how many characters you're going to need. The command line utilities that we created with Pandora, we had by version 3, we had not only some offline password cracking, brute force, dictionary type attacks. But we also had some online server attacks, and these were kind of interesting. I'll go into this in just a minute, particularly when we get to, we're still talking about Pandora 4. Lots of denial of service. We have been trying to come, and this is kind of the holy grail among the very, very few people that are doing active hacking in NetWare, is to get the server to execute code remotely, kind of do the remote buffer overflow type stuff. And it's very, very hard to do in NetWare because of, they've got a very, very bizarre architecture in memory on the server. And so it's really hard to write code that consistently can find these things. You can do it manually, but that doesn't count because then you're at the console, and then it doesn't, you know, you're at the console. That's it. You've got it. But so as a result, a lot of the things where we're trying to do the overflows were simply just turned into denial of service attacks. So we found a lot of those, and we included some of that stuff in Pandora 3. It was all the stuff that we've been releasing is all open source. It's all freeware. And the thing that we started with Pandora 3 is we just made the conscious effort that we're going to develop using freeware. So we're using the new compiler port by DJ DeLore for our development on this stuff, and that's really nice. That also gives you some options, which we'll talk about here, Pandora 4. The thing that we did with Pandora 4, which, by the way, if I'd known that we're going to be as far along with it, I would have brought a NetWare server with me, because the online server attack stuff is really neat. It's really nifty. We've got it's now a GUI. The GUI development that we did with this is kind of interesting. We made a conscious decision that we wanted to try and not only use the new compiler and do this on a Windows platform, but we also wanted to do it on Linux. And that was actually the main development platform. That's where the GUI was designed, was in Linux. We found freeware compilers. We found freeware drivers. We found there's a thing called MGUI that a guy in Italy wrote, that he wrote on X and then ported it over to Win32. So we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this so that we don't use NetWare's APIs, we don't use Borland compilers or any other commercial type compilers. Everything will be done with freeware, and we wanted the source code to be the same on either platform. Now we didn't get that with the online stuff, because that's just because of the way that Microsoft handles their talking to the wire. It's just unbelievably ridiculous. But with the offline password stuff, we were able to get it to where we have the same source code for either platform. So now the only difference between the Linux version and the Win32 version of Pandora offline is simply the make file, and that's kind of nice, because then we can just make simple changes. Now, as a result, the GUI doesn't look a thing like a normal Windows application. It looks like an X app, because that's basically where the GUI library came from. But and we include full source code. If anyone wants to see how the hell we figured out how to do this, they're more than welcome to go ahead and grab a copy of the source code and look at it. And see what we went through. And as far as the online stuff, that's really kids don't try this at home. It's absolutely insane trying to write code that's going to be portable between platforms until someone does something with the way Microsoft talks to the network. It's just unbelievably pathetic how that all works. As far as what we included in the online, there's four different denial of service attacks that are built into it, and some of these will go ahead and take out servers. Some of them will take out servers and workstations. Some will flood your network with bogus broadcast messages that pop up on the screen and annoy users to death. We've included those in for better or for worse. All of these are old denial of service things. There's the source code for these, which between Jitsu and I, we wrote them. They're all out there on our website and been there for over a year. We included some of the techniques like the CX and endless type calls, and use that to do some type of auto gathering. So you can go out there and get some of that information off of those specific accounts that you can use and plug in into other portions of the online attacking stuff. We have the user account discovery type methods using that, where you can pull this stuff in and then do the old intruder type thing, where you're going ahead and saying, okay, here's a list of users, I'm going to go ahead and attach that way. Some things that we've tried to simplify, make a little bit easier, we set it up where you can do a binary attach to a server using only the hash. As long as the binary context is set on the server, you can, if you've got the hash from NDS, you can go ahead and attach to that server with those writes. And that's kind of a neat thing. You don't even have to crack the password if you don't want to on that. The dictionary attacks that we have in there, they do that same lockout detection where they see if you've clicked off intruder detect, and then they'll stop running to stop flooding the screen. The best part about Pandora is Novell has this thing called a packet signature. And what this is, packet signature is Novell's way of preventing spoofing and hijacking of sessions between the client and the server. And so they're doing some type of cryptographic thing where they're going to sign the packet. And they don't even sign the whole packet. They sign the first 100, 150 some odd bytes or whatever. So the levels that you have, because you can set levels of handling this in your environment, there's four different levels. Level zero says, and this is, let's say, on the server, level zero says, I am not going to do a packet signature at all. Level one says, I'm not going to do packet signature unless I'm asked to do packet signature. Level two will say, I'll go ahead and I prefer doing packet signature, but if the client doesn't support it, I'm not going to do it. And three says, I'm only going to do packet signature. And you get the same settings on the client. Okay. Now, one would expect that if the product said, I'm going to go ahead and do packet signature, that it would go ahead and this is like a binary thing. It's either it's on or it's off. Well, it turns out that at least particularly on the client side of it, if you do not have it set to 3 on the client and 3 on the server, then not all of your packets are going to be signed. Okay? Now, what happens there is that means if you have level 1 set on your client and level 3 set on your server, there's certain groups of packets that are not going to be signed, and these are usually what's known as fragmented IP packets. So we decided, in particular, Jitsu was playing around saying, okay, well, let's see if we can come up with some way to, since this isn't working right, this isn't working normal, let's see if there's some way we can come up with to kind of play around with this. The first one was a real easy one. Let's just put in a bogus signature. Put in FFFFFFFFF and use that as the signature. And bingo, we got the little things to start to work, which was, that's really pathetic. It shouldn't be that way at all. And then we tried some other things by looking to see, okay, what happens, let's get at the sniffer and let's go ahead and try to do an administrative task. Let's make guest equal admin. Let's look at the packets that go back and forth when we have that level 3 on the server and level 1 on the workstation. What happens is you go through and you see the exchange of packets there. There are all these fragmented IPX packets, so we know they're not being signed properly, which means we can spoof them. And there are these odd NCP calls. A lot of this stuff isn't even documented. And so we're thinking, okay, we've seen all this stuff here, how this thing works at the wire level. Now let's see if we can duplicate it. And that's what we've done with, we did this originally in Pandora 3, and we also have done it now with Pandora 4. The two particular attacks that we included in this, one of them was in Pandora 4, is called Game Over. And basically it said, we're going to make user guest equivalent to admin. And or you could specify if you wanted some other user. But it basically said, this guy is now equivalent to admin. He now owns your server. The other thing that we came up with was going ahead and actually hijacking a session. Admin's already attached to the server. He's doing some work. And because Novell has this really fairly lame sequence scheme when it's doing its ACK-NACK stuff with packets, it's real easy to go ahead and spoof. And the funny thing is, in some instances, you can get away with it and the client won't even notice. A real good example of, well, just to tell you what it does is the when you first connect up to a network server and you're doing your IPX, he sends off his packet and his sequence number is 1, okay? The next packet that he sends up is sequence number 2. This goes up to 255 and then it goes back to the beginning. That's really, really easy to figure out, and if you just do a little bit of live sniffing, you can see exactly where it's at. We tried some things like going ahead and sending in, 255 packets, each with a different number, and playing around, and that kind of worked, although it kind of flooded and broke some stuff. But we discovered another really interesting little quirk in that is that network's really forgiving if you send a sequence number and then it goes ahead and answers back, and it's sending it back to the client. The client ignores it. It doesn't care. But then if the client does something, it'll go ahead and allow the client, it'll say, oh, your sequence number's off by 1. Well, I know you probably meant that other sequence number. I'll go ahead and allow you to go ahead and send your packets. I don't know why in the world they would go ahead and do that. That is just unbelievably pathetic. So it made the whole idea of doing the packet signature spoofing extremely easy. And maybe not extremely easy, but you get the idea. I mean, this is basic, kindergarten kind of stuff you should be on the lookout for. The real interesting thing about Game Over and the way that works is every time when a user makes a connection, you can see it because you can list out and say, give me the list of connected users in that server, and it'll go ahead and give you a full list of those users. Well, what's really interesting is that there's some extra connections in there, and some of them have the name of the server itself. Now, in certain conditions, depending on how you got your settings on your server, and particularly if you haven't patched up, and this is really the case on Network 4, so if you don't have that server patched up current, what happens is you can send your spoof packets directly to that server object that's sitting out there taking up a connection and then do all your spoofing there. He sits there and he listens. I don't know why. He listens to the network and goes ahead and accepts packets. So I can do that whole spoofing thing right there to that guy and use my my forged packet signature, and boom, I go ahead and get in. The Pandora 4 offline utility, we went ahead, network changed some things with network 5, and so we had to, mainly they changed the naming scheme of their files. They also solved we had a lot of problems dealing with lining up all the bytes, the big Indian, little Indian thing, and they solved that in network 5. They're obviously making moves towards releasing NDS on Unix platforms and everything else. Matter of fact, I think they recently announced Linux, NDS for Linux, and they already have the one for Solaris out. So they're heading in that direction, so we wanted to make sure that we were going to be compatible with all that, particularly with Network 5. So we support the Network 5 things. It has a combination of both dictionary and brute force attacking. There's some maintenance files that are created, and this also applies to Pandora 3 as well. There's some maintenance files that under certain conditions and settings will be created. They're actual copies of your NDS. These get copied out in that system directory out on the sys volume. There's the backup.ds if you're doing a DS maint, and then there's also the dsrepair.dib, which is a full copy. On Network 4, it's a full copy of everything in that hidden directory. And then in Network 5 is just a copy of just the NDS files. Do you have a question?
Yeah. On Network 5, are these attacks you're talking about the IP based?
No, the attacks, the question was, are these attacks IP based? No, they're not. They're right now they're IPX. Network 5 by default will go ahead and use IP. That's what a standard thing is. I don't think it'll be too much trouble to adapt these things over, especially because Novell's TCP/IP stack is susceptible to it does predictable sequence numbers as well. Granted, it does them a little bit bigger, but it's just as going to be just as easy to go ahead and do that. The other thing we added in with the offline is this multi-threaded. We had a lot of people saying, oh, "I'm doing password auditing. with my NetWare environment. I really don't want to have to set up all these different windows and run individual copies of this thing. So this thing is multi-threaded for both brute force and dictionary attacks. We don't recommend, if you've got a tree that's got 2,500 people in it, that you run a dictionary attack on all of them at once, because you kick off so many threads and just grind your machine to a halt. That's partially our problem, but it's partially the fact that we're using all these different freeware libraries, and we're kind of under the constraints of some of those. To kind of summarize how you go ahead, let's try to tie some of these pieces together real quick. Let's say that I've either dialed in, I found a box because I've been war dialing or whatever, and all of a sudden I've got into a PC Anywhere box that's got me right up on the network there. I can start doing things like running check null. I can upload that if the PC Anywhere will, if I can go ahead and do that there. CX Enlist, if you can upload on site, go ahead and run that and gain some of these initial information, such as user accounts, to go ahead and try. Go ahead then and look for the ones that have no password or a weak password on them. The larger the tree, the more common that is. That's really the case. I've done this in I don't know how many places, and literally I have yet to find a spot where, you know, I was unable to get in using just those techniques right there and at least get onto the network. And either, you know, dictionary or brute force, depending on your particular style or taste or whatever. There's more advanced techniques. If you're using on-site, you can take some of that information and plug it into Game Over, which is with Pandora 3, which is a command line. And sometimes, if you're, for those people out there that are doing doing auditing, that's what you're going to have to do. If you hit a box with PC Anywhere, that's probably what you'll want to do. I'll go ahead and upload these command line utilities and go ahead and run them. Go after the supervisor account. It's there on every single NetWare server. Odds are it does not have intruder detect turned on. Just have a field day. Go for it. Once you've got that, you pretty much are going to be guaranteed you're going to be able to get the NDS files, because you're going to be able to get to that system directory, and either by forcing a reboot after you've edited an NCF file or whatever, you should be able to break that box wide open. And then once you've cracked all the other passwords, odds are you can use those passwords, particularly in this whole I'm getting rid of NetWare, I'm going to NT type world. You're going to find that a lot of these account names and passwords are going to work in all your other systems as well. You know, whether it's mainframe, whether it's Unix or NT. And so those are, it's just a kind of a stepping stone from there. Some additional items. I got a couple of things I added in here that are not in the presentation that's in your books there. I wanted to mention there's a product called IMP. IMP was written by a guy named Shade, which I'm hoping to run into at DEF CON and tell him I really liked what he did. He took some of the original Pandora password cracking code. And if you'd like to have a nice little GUI that looks a whole lot like the NWAdmin tool that NetWare uses to go in there and control their objects, that's what IMP looks like. And it's, once again, it's freeware. And a really nice, neat, and clean one. I've actually used it. It's very nice. Jitsu came up with a utility, and it's also out there on the website, called PanMount. And what that does is, this allows us to mount a, now this is part of the NCPFS project, which allows you to mount a Novell volume from Linux. But what we've done is we altered, Jitsu went in and put in a little alteration in there, so that all you got to do is pass it the hash, and then you can go ahead and attach the server. Before, the stuff that we had with Pandora on the online requires the binary context set, because the NCPFS project does the full directory services type login. You with this, it'll go ahead and do all your packet signature and everything else. You do not need to go ahead and have the binary context set. This will go ahead and allow you to, boom, go ahead and attach the box. So that's kind of nice. Another utility that I wrote called DS Strip. If you get a hold of a dsrepair.dib file, in NetWare 5, if you use DS Strip, it'll go ahead and strip out the NDS and put it back in its original form. If you get a hold of a NetWare 4 DS repair.dib file, it's got all kinds of nice and neat things in it. It's got all the login scripts. It's got all of the other auditing files that that you may have created if you got auditing turned on. And it also will go ahead and give you the license file. So if you were a nefarious guy and wanted to go ahead and copy that license off and stick it on another server or whatever, then you could certainly do that. And of course, I don't encourage anyone to do that. I understand that's illegal. Okay, but nonetheless, that's how you do that. Some defensive techniques against some of all this stuff. Most of this stuff you can actually go in and protect your systems against. Okay, make sure you have the latest service packs and patches. I know that everyone that's come up here and done a presentation has said, make sure you got the latest stuff. It is definitely, probably more so in the case of Novell than anyone else. They are notorious for throwing in security fixes into regular maintenance without telling anybody about them. I don't know how many times I've reported a bug to them and say, I'm going to release exploit code on this. And they say, oh, yeah, we knew all about that. We knew about that 6 months ago, and it's in a patch that was released 3 months ago. And it's like, okay, well, where's the documentation on this? Well, okay, it was part of regular maintenance and everything. And I don't know if anyone's used to managing a Novell environment. The only people that really know how to write an NLM is Novell. Everyone else does a pretty good effort, and so a lot of cases you'll have like an ArcServe or Palindrome. You load up that stuff and it will just crash the server for whatever reason. No one seems to know why. So what happens is if someone gets an environment and it's working right, they'll kind of hold off patching their servers, specifically because it's like, I got a working environment, I don't want things to crash, I don't want people yelling at me. So all the time you find underpatched servers, only if people are really, really, if they're pretty much Novell only, and if they're pretty much really security conscious, do you find people actually going and applying all these service packs and patches. Pandora is a perfect example of that. Some of the game over stuff does not work if you're up on any version higher than 5.95 of their directory services. They didn't tell anybody that. They knew about that bug. They had known about it, like I said, the Russian guys had told them for they knew about it for 18 months before they patched it, and then when we came out, they said, oh, well, you know, we've had that patch. That's not a big deal. Other defensive techniques, something I did forget to mention as far as I'll talk about now, that user underscore template. Whenever you're creating a new user in NetWare, there's a template file that you can use. You got to check the rights on that thing. If there's no password set on that thing, that's a really, really easy way to go ahead and gain initial access onto the system. Okay, that thing should. If you're using it as a template, go ahead. That's great. Do not go in there and allow anybody in the world to be able to log into that thing. That's not a good idea. It does give you a little bit of extra work when you're going through building users, but that's just the way things go. Look and see what rights are set up on the root of your tree. If the tree has got, if anyone can look at it, that's a bad thing because they only have to be logged in and they got a whole list of all your users and how your whole directory structure is all set up. And that's also a very, very bad thing. You can go ahead and turn this off. I know that some people don't like to do that. They say, well, I want my users to be able to go in and mill about in the tree to find the right spot where they can do their login and everything. That's really not a good security type thing. Turn on intruder detect. You need to turn that on each container. It is off by default. I don't even know if there's a way to make it to where it would go on by default. I think it should be there. Use packet signature level 3 on all your servers. This will break any of your older clients. It'll break some types of your old HP printers and some of their, you know, the real old ones that are NetWare aware. It'll break those, but you know, upgrade that stuff if you care about security. I would also recommend that you make sure that you're using packet signature level 3 on the clients that are going to be doing any administrative work, or that have accelerated or higher level privileges, or have access to sensitive data. You really need to have that stuff turned on there. Also, to prevent some of these sniffing attacks, go to and use some type of switched Ethernet. You'll have to come up with something else because that's a bad thing. If you have the money, maybe put all your admins on one Ethernet segment, your servers on another, and you don't have any way for regular users or rogue people to be able to insert themselves in between there. And of course, you know, having a good strong security policy saying, okay, passwords are going to expire so many times a year, and they're going to have to be X number of characters long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really good because with Novell, you can have extremely long passwords. The limit, I think, is 127 characters. It's really big, and I know that that's somewhat impractical, and people may write that stuff down, but nonetheless, you can have extremely large passwords, and people should be encouraged to consider it passphrases instead of a password. Of course, if you're using where you've got a mixed environment where you've got NDS and NT in there, you're still going to be stuck with, if you want your users to only log in one time, you're going to be stuck with that 14 character limit that exists in NT. 2 minutes? Okay. There's a number of ways to have back doors in NDS. It's advisable if you do that nlist/OT that's in the other slide. That's a good way to find all these different users. The basic way to create a really quick backdoor in NDS, once you get in and do that thing where you like run the game over and then bingo, you've got guest equals root, or guest equals admin, go ahead and log in as admin, create another container, create a user inside that container, give that user inside the container full rights to the tree, and then turn on the make full rights to himself, full rights to the container he's in, and then use the inherited write filter and make that container disappear from common view. That's a real nice, neat little back door. You do show up in the connection list when you use it, but nonetheless, it is something that keeps you kind of hidden. Also, go ahead and use your regular logging, regular auditing. There's a lot of different things that you can use in NetWare, and I heavily encourage you to use those. I was given 2 minutes. I'll take, if we've got just a couple of questions, I'll go ahead and take them real quick. If not, yeah, go ahead. When is Pandora 4 out? Pandora 4 went up on the website on Monday. So it's out there now. We do not, and just to talk about that quickly, the GUI works fine on Linux, on X. We built and tested it on a Red Hat, and the Win32 stuff works really good too. The online stuff, we're having problems with the NT, Service Pack 3. Every time we try to do a spoof, it craps out on us, and blue screens. We're working on that. That's just because of the, like I said, the way Microsoft talks to the wire. The 95 version of that, it works great. You can put in, and we've even simplified it, just put in the MAC address of who you're trying to hijack, the admin, and boom, you've now got those rights and everything. We haven't even started on the online version of the Linux yet because we thought that would be easy. And so we're still working on that. If I'd have known we would have had the 95 version working as well as it was, I would have brought a network server with me and demoed it. Yes? Question was, am I getting any pressure from law enforcement because of the website? I have been contacted before by some federal agencies, yeah. I haven't had the proverbial visit. Go ahead and download the whole thing. That's fine. That's what it's there for. If anyone wants to go ahead and archive it, particularly if you're from out of the country, that'd be just great. Considering that with WIPO and some of these other things, I mean, everything I did was via reverse engineering. As long as Novell, and they really have been very, very nice about what I've been doing. They really have. They sent me a T-shirt. They sent me a copy of NetWare 5. They really did. Mainly because I've had good things to say about them. If you held a gun to my head and said, which system is easier to secure and which one do you think you can really lock down better, NT or Novell, I'm going to say Novell because you can turn more stuff off. You can't. There's some things that are very, very hard to turn off in NT. So, yeah, one more.
Do the offline tools support DSV8?
No, I haven't looked at Directory Services version 8. Novell's promised to send me a copy. So I don't know if it's supported or not. Probably it does if it's backward compatible. It probably will. I hope so. But we'll see. If not, we'll quickly, it shouldn't take too long to reverse engineer how those things are put together and go ahead and do it. If anyone has any other questions about this, I was going to go ahead and do some demos of the
offline and online. I'm probably going to have to reboot to get that to work, and that's going to take too long. I'm going to be running to the other session. I'll have my laptop with me. I'll probably just set up out here in the hall. Track me down, and I can show you what this thing, particularly the online tool, looks like. And if anyone's interested in taking a look at that, and hopefully we'll have, I'll be able to show you that if you catch me tomorrow at DEF CON. I'll be hopefully have that up and running then as well. I think I'm speaking right off the bat at 3:00 there. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.